Dr. Manu Chandaria, APHRC leadership, researchers for this particular research. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I'm here to represent Dr. Ivan Spidero, who was not able to come, and his deputy also, because they are in the business of governing, and sometimes governing has got emergencies. Even as I'm seated here, I'm being told that I have to respond to my phone, and I've said I will respond in 20 minutes because I have to represent my governor in this particular presentation of results from this research. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just begin by saying that the governor did not have a prepared speech. So it is through the interaction with the governor that I am going to be able to share some of the thoughts which he would have liked to share with us. There are some things which are very pertinent to him, which have been brought out by the findings of this particular study. One of them is very, very, very close to his heart: water provision in the informal settlement. He keeps on reminding us that it is 20 times more expensive than the rest of Nairobi. Why? Because there are cartels who go and buy that water from Nairobi City Water and Sewage Company, and they go and sell it to the informal sector. Don't ask me how the informal sector is able to finance that. Living in the informal sector does not mean that you are destitute, does not mean that you are very poor. They are able to buy a 20-liter jerrycan at 20 shillings. And that is unacceptable. And I will tell you why it is unacceptable politically. 60% of the people in Nairobi, they live in the slums. Majority of the people who live in the slums have maybe their families up country, and they have come for opportunities. So there's a very big population of adults in the slums. So politically, these people actually make presidents and governors. They are the people who vote. And if Nairobi City government owns the water company, and this water company is selling water all through an intermediary at 20 shillings per gallon, that is unacceptable. And very soon they will ask a political question: why should we continue to employ a governor who is disadvantaging us in the provision of water? On health services, the Nairobi City government holds 22% of all the public health facilities, but looks after 80% of the population. I don't know whether you've got the statistics. The other facilities in Nairobi are held by private hands and NGOs and faith-based organizations, but they look after only 20%. There is also another group of people who we cannot call private or public. They treat people, yes, because the people trust them to treat them. They sometimes give charcoal and say it is medicine. They delay mothers in their homes trying to deliver them, and they have no capacity to recognize that these mothers got obstructed labor. They think every mother can deliver. And therefore, MDG 5 is becoming very difficult in Nairobi to attain because of these delayed referrals. You get unskilled hands who are handling these mothers, and the mother is referred to us when the mother is already critically injured by that delivery, and we end up losing the mother. Therefore, maternal mortality in Nairobi is higher than the rest of the country. This is a capital city. That is unacceptable. That is politically completely unacceptable. What are we doing about it? I'm glad we are partnering with APHRC, and I can see everybody here whom we have been talking with, to see whether we can expand the free maternal health care to semi-public institutions. For example, if you had a health center and it is private, and it will tell you that if you deliver a mother, will give you 2,500 shillings, which is coming from the national government to the public facilities. Supposing we said any private facility which is able to deliver our mothers, we will give them 2,500. I think that would help quite a lot. Because there are small facilities with skilled labor who can be able to save our mothers, who can be able to recognize obstructed labor early enough and be able to reduce these maternal deaths. I, as Dr. Kingondu, in charge of the health services, I would like to pursue that. I'm trying to pursue that with APHRC to see whether we can be able to convince the national government that it is worthwhile investing in private, in public-private partnership to save our mothers. When we came in a year and a few months ago as Nairobi City Government, we found that investment in healthcare had stopped a long, long time ago. We are the only county with health facilities with asbestos roofs. You know what asbestos is and the dangers associated with asbestos. And these are health facilities. They were built before independence. Some of our health facilities have buildings which were maternities which delivered very prominent people in this society. They're still standing, but they are buildings which should not be standing. Because suddenly, unless you make them museum pieces, they are not fit for purpose. So government had not been investing for a very long time. Last year, we were able to put in investment in buildings close to $1 billion. But of course, with 50 years of neglect, you do not expect the services to improve immediately. There are challenges. And of course, with challenges, there are noises. Everybody thought that the morning of 5th of March 2013 was going to bring heaven. No. We just slept and woke up and found ourselves exactly where we were. The only thing we have done is just make a vote and get new governors, new leaders, new governance structure. It will take time. Are the electors patient enough to be able to allow us to do that? No, they are not. But I'm glad that the researcher said that there are some low-hanging fruits. PPP, there is opportunity in the slums. Don't say that there's no money. In the slums, there's money. They make 60% of the population, and they are not all dead. Let me surprise you. I am a public health specialist, but agriculture in Nairobi is done by the slum people. And they do it very unsafely. And we consume their product, their produce. We are the ones who consume. How many of you buy vegetables from Mama Mboga? I think all of you. You are shy to say it. I do. But you know where Mama Mboga gets our vegetables from? I probably will be sacked if I tell you. But it is true, it is from the Ruai sewage plantations. And these vegetables are finding their way into high-end hotels and restaurants. Who is doing that? It's the slum dweller. We have seen that they don't really care very much about infection. Because you are telling them that I am going to be infected, you are going to be infected and